SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Underdog Podcast on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. Hope everybody's having a great week so far. Excited to get into some CUSA football news and notes specifically related to the Rice Owls, and we have a special guest to help us do that. Joe Lonergan and Eric Henry here with you as always, but Matt Bartlett from attheroost.com is joining us today. If you want to follow their Twitter, it's just at the roost. That's of course the at symbol followed by the word at the roost. But Matt, really a pleasure having you on today. How you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be joining you guys.
Awesome. I know it's coming off of a weird year with everything that went into Rice football going 2-3. Eric, one of the weirder seasons that you and I have covered for sure. And with Rice specifically, I know there's some interesting nuances that we'll get into here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Emphasis on the weird, definitely for all Conference USA teams, but especially the Owls. And we saw the way that they open up the year with the quadruple doink. So I think that is just a nice way to kind of summarize.
Oh, man, I'd almost put that out of my memory.
I apologize, Matt. Whether it was that or the fact that that Mike Bloomgren was refusing to leave the field at Jones C. Edwards Stadium unless he got that pass interference call in the second quarter. That's the latest flag I think I've seen in the history of college football, but Mike Bloomgren was just going to stand in the 50-yard line until that flag was called. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that was a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Without further ado, I'm going to jump to the line of questioning. I take that back. I have one quick story, and I want to bring Joe in on this. So, you know, in this Conference USA space that we all share, we try to, you know, coordinate a little bit and share content, do each other's podcasts, help each other out, things of that nature. And Matt, how would you describe it? We couldn't figure out pre-taping whether it had been a year or 6 months or whenever it was, but we had a moment in which, you know, between you having an illustrious Rice degree and myself having a pair of degrees, couldn't figure out whose podcast we were doing. How do you remember it?
Mea culpa, I don't have a Rice degree, not actually a Rice alum, so I can't even use that as a cop-out. but yeah, I don't remember what it was. I texted you and you texted me back and we're sitting there, right? This might have been pre-pandemic because I don't even think it was Zoom.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. A phone call or a Skype. And I'm like, all right, are you going to start? And you're like, no, are you going to start? I'm like, what are we doing right now? And I thought I was Underdog Dynasty and you thought you were on the Roost Pod. And then we laughed for a good 20 minutes. And then I think this is the first time we've gone on either pod since. And it's been
correct. And Joe, the way he described it is exactly how it played out. It was just, all right, so like, you want to open? Hey, you want to open? And then we're like, wait a minute, we both think we're doing each other's podcast. So that was just kind of a funny moment. I think that kind of sums up 2020, right?
Yeah.
This is the Underdog Pod, right? I'm in the right place.
Yes. If there's a story that sums up what it's like to be a sports writer in 2021, it's that, just not even knowing whose podcast you're doing that day.
All right. Now, without further ado, I'll jump to the questions. And Matt, got to start with kind of the obvious is Blaze Aldridge, someone who'd been a tremendous performer in Conference USA over the past 2 years, someone who's from right up the road around these neck of the woods in Celebration, Florida, up there around the Orlando area, one of the top linebackers in his time in CUSA. Just talk about that loss for a second. And was that something that, you know, maybe Rice fans saw coming, maybe the program saw coming? Or is it just kind of, you know, the rich get richer in terms of, unfortunately, nowadays with the transfer portal and the way things play out, you do see a lot of the top talents, top group of five talents end up making their way to the P5 eventually.
Well, I think there's some context and there's some nuance around Aldridge moving on, ended up at Missouri for this year. So the first being that had there not been a pandemic and had the NCAA eligibility rules not been extended as they were, last year, 2020, would have been Blaze's last season at Rice. Like, there was a senior final season. He got a mulligan, which no one was expecting, right? Like, you know, last time we talked, So going into 2020, everyone thought last year was the last year of Blaze to begin with. The fact that there could have been a bonus year was kind of icing on top. So I don't think the expectation, you know, if we go back to originally, like Blaze not being here in 2021 is not something that, you know, Rice fans, if we told them a year ago, would have been too, you know, heartbroken about. They would have, obviously we'd missed him, but not an expectation. And then actually I got a word of the intake, because they do all the testing with everybody coming back to campus and in January, December, whenever the new semester gets rolling, and Blaze's name was still on the list. This wasn't like a decision of I finished and I'm gone. This was something that, you know, Blaze came to and made the decision to make the move for his last year. And I think at Rice, there's a maybe this is a Rice way of looking at it, but there is kind of a stipulation that if you graduate and you get your degree and you fulfill kind of the commitment you made when you showed up, that there's some lenience with moving on and going elsewhere. I think of Calvin Henderson, who's playing with the Broncos right now in the NFL. He took his grad year and went to Texas and got some starting experience. So, you know, it stinks and we'll miss Blaze, but, you know, obviously happy for him and know he's going to do big things at the next level.
Sure. That's another great example you mentioned. I remember one of the top tackles in Conference USA at the time of his departure. And he, of course, went to Texas. And as you mentioned, now has a professional career. Want to move on to another one of the stalwarts on the defense and a guy who, quite frankly, I'm projecting has the opportunity to be, if not Rice's leading tackler, among the top three. Pound for pound, I think he's one of the top players in CUSA, if not all of Group of Five football. Trayshon Chamberlain. Just talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, it's really an interesting guy. You know, recruited as a linebacker out of South Carolina and fills the Viper role on the Bryan Smith defense, which every college, not every college defense, but you call it like the star or the joker or something like that. It's the tweener player who is a linebacker and a safety. And that's kind of what he is. He's a linebacker that can cover particularly well. So he's not going to line up as much in between the tackles where you'd see someone like, you know, Blaze or an Antonio Montero line up. But you will, if you could just kind of go watch a quarter of a Rice football game, you'll see him at the line of scrimmage. You'll see him deep middle. You'll see him playing corner cover in the slot. And he can just move everywhere as that kind of chess piece mismatch, which is a luxury for any defense to have. So yeah, he's going to be, again, one of the difference makers for a defense that was, you know, one of the best in the country last year.
Absolutely. And as Matt mentions, that position, you know, like it's called Viper or Star. I believe FAU calls it the Owl. Trayshon Chamberlain's listed at 5'10", 201 to kind of give you an idea of the fact that, you know, he's not only will play in coverage, but can play in the box as well. And certainly has performed, been a member of an all freshman team, CUSA all, the coach's honorable mention as well. So certainly an excellent performer. The last full season Rice played, he had 64 tackles. Want to talk about the offensive side of the football here for a second, and a guy who opted out of last year, Brad Rosner, and another player who emerged, quite frankly, due to the fact that he opted out, and Jake Bailey. Can you just talk about that duo for a second, and then also talk about Rosner's return? When Brad Rosner last took the field in 2020, he was one of the top receivers as far as yards and yards per catch in CUSA.
Yeah, I think, and that every story with opt-outs is different, right? And that you all know that covering CUSA as well as anybody. But Rosner actually had an injury in the like pre-fall camp. I don't even know, what was it, September, something like that, whenever it was getting rolling. And so it was a situation where he wasn't going to play last fall. So his opt-out, you know, was just kind of injury related. He just got hurt and missed the season. Is really what it amounted to. But getting to attend spring practice and see him in a Rice jersey catching passes again, that was a very happy moment in the midst of everything. And so he's just as good as he was. He's going to be one of the best downfield threats in Conference USA again with his size. And then Jake Bailey was a guy. There was one point last year, mid-November, when Rice was wrapping up its season, Jake Bailey was the only healthy scholarship wide receiver on the field for Rice during practices. And he got hurt, not severely, but nicked up a little bit going into the final game that Rice played. And so Rice had zero truly healthy scholarship wide receivers when they finished the season. So having Bailey there, having Rosner, having a whole host of guys back, watching 10 different people catch passes during practice, that's going to be the biggest boon for the Rice offense, if anything else, just getting everyone on the field.
Yeah, and forgive me, I misspoke. I said last time Rosner played was 2020. Of course, it was the 2019 season, which he had 55 grabs for 770 yards and 5 touchdowns, a big target, 6'5", 195. So still kind of keeping in that, you know, kind of duo for Rice where they got the big target in Rosner. And of course, with Austin Trammell's graduation, Jake Bailey still a kind of the smaller receiver at 5'10", 185. Let's talk about who's going to be throwing these guys the ball, because as it seems for Rice, and quite frankly, in my opinion, I've been very vocal about this, and is that if Mike Bloomgren is able to get the quarterback situation straightened out, you know, Rice is a bowl team. Quite frankly, you can make the argument that they would have been a bowl team in the past 2 years. At least the win total would have been a little bit higher had they not been so dependent upon getting a guy from the transfer portal and hoping that he can kind of be a one-year fix. So just talk about the quarterback battle. We saw Jovani Johnson start the Marshall game, a game that Rice upset, I believe at the time, a top 15 team in Marshall. I think they were ranked 14th in the nation. And then they also get a transfer from Weber State. Just talk about, you know, kind of the quarterback situation there for a minute.
Yeah, this is a broken record. I feel like I could lose track of time here because we've had the same conversation on either in person in media days or press boxes or what have you. But it's the rotating door at quarterback for Rice. Jake Constantine, he's the guy you mentioned that they brought in from Weber State. Won 2 conference titles there, has a pretty good arm. They have Jovani Johnson in the room. Wiley Green, who started, actually probably has more starting experience at the Division I level than anyone on the Rice roster right now. He's back in the mix. They got TJ McMahon, who's a JUCO guy that's taken some reps. And I can tell you this. I every guy in the quarterback room, those 4 guys, has taken reps with the first team this spring. There is not going to be a starter anointed that we're recording this right before the spring game. There's not going to be a starter named this spring. We're going to go into the fall. Stop me if you heard this before. We're going to go into the fall with a quarterback battle for Rice and hoping that somebody takes the job out of the gate. And I don't know who that's going to be, truthfully, which is kind of frustrating because, like you mentioned, and I think what we got teased with Mike Collins last year, his play was phenomenal, was leading Conference USA in most passing statistics through his first 3 games. And then he got hurt and was out for the season. And man, just, you know, one of those college football, what have you, is if Mike Collins is here and is healthy, he's probably the best quarterback on this team and maybe one of the top 2 or 3 in the conference.
Hey, Matt, two-part question here, maybe one statement, one question. One, did Mike Collins just choose to graduate? Because that actually surprised me when I saw, you know, the roster for 2021, because I obviously players had a chance to take advantage of the extra year. Did he just choose to graduate and, you know, finish playing football?
I'm not too privy to the details of how that transpired. It was one day he was healthy and finishing the North Texas game, and then it was announced he had an injury and would be out for the rest of the season. So that's the last thing Rice has officially said on the matter. So I had been told that he was on campus at one point, so he hasn't fallen off the map and disappeared completely, but he's not in the plans to be available for Rice this fall.
All right, well, that answers that one. Then the second part is, you mentioned the other quarterbacks there, and I'm kind of putting you in a tough spot because I'm asking you to kind of, you know, play Mike Bloomgren, and, you know, Joe will talk about new offensive coordinator Marcus Tuiasosopo here. I had a chance to see Wiley Green's first career start at FIU. I believe it was the 2018 season, if memory serves me correct. And it was a tough game. You know, Rice certainly was not at the talent level to really match up with FIU at that time, but he's certainly a competitor. And like you mentioned, he may have the most starting experience. But the question I kind of have for you, just piggybacking off, you know, your initial analysis of the quarterback situation is, do you think that you can legitimately, and obviously, you know, that may just be the company line coming out of Rice, that it's going to be open with 4 guys. I saw that at FIU this past season. Granted, of course, there's a pandemic, which made things, you know, significantly difficult as far as quarterbacks get reps. But if you're going to go into the fall, you're only going to have X amount of time to continuously rotate multiple quarterbacks. And then at a certain point in time, you got to prep some guy to be the starter. So I know I'm asking you to play Mike Bloomgren and Marcus Uiagalelei, but do you honestly think that they can have a four or even a three-man race legitimately in the fall?
So they've done three-man races before. They did it the first year that Bloomgren's here with Jackson Tyner. Sam Glaisman was in the mix at one point before Evan Marshman, Wiley Green. They've done four-man battles. And that's one of the things that it starts as four in week one of camp, and then by week three, we're down to two, right? Like, it's not like everyone gets starting reps the whole time. And I will say last year, I felt it was the company line. Like, it was Mike Collins and Giovanni Johnson, but there was no point during the spring or during the fall that I thought Giovanni Johnson was going to be the starting quarterback at Rice. I thought it was, and that's not a knock on Giovanni. That's how good Mike was. And him this year, it's kind of different because Constantine, you know, he has the most, you know, college football experience, has played and won a lot of good football games, but he's brand new to Rice's like pro style, very complicated system with a lot of checks. So there's that. Giovanni, most athletic out of the group. But, you know, his confidence, he hasn't been a guy in his career yet that has really been able to throw the ball downfield with accuracy. And then Wiley, you know, knows the Rice system better than anybody else on campus right now, you know, maybe better than some of the new coaches that brought in. But his decision making under pressure has been something that's kept him buried down the depth chart. And so each guy has an area where you're like, I really like this and I really don't like that. And so that's why I really do think like, you're looking at a three-man race going into the fall. It'll probably trim down to two, but it's going to be, you know, not just coach speak. It's going to be an actual battle.
Last one here for you. I'll have another one after this, but want to ask you about the running backs. You know, anyone who knows Mike Bloomgren knows that he's going to put an emphasis on playing physical football and is going to look to run the football. When you look at the running backs last year, as far as the production with Kylan Griffin and Juma Ataviano, it wasn't exactly, you know, in terms of yards per carry, wasn't exactly dynamic. I mean, it definitely was efficient in that, hey, you know, again, Rice is going to look to pound the football. But for Griffin, 72 carries for 249 yards and no scores. It actually kind of surprised me. Sorry for stumbling through the question. The fact that Rice did not get a rushing touchdown from a running back last year in five games. So that just is a shock considering the brand of football that Rice plays. But just talk about the running backs for a second and what you're kind of expecting in 2021.
Yeah, so there is some nuance in there. Rice had one rushing touchdown last year, and it was from Jordan Myers,
right,
who was listed officially as a tight end, but kind of a lab project for the spring is he's moved over to running back.
Oh, okay.
He was the short yardage, like goal line guy last year, and has some running back experience in his past. And really, Rice left this last recruiting cycle. And what Mike Bloomgren has had in the past is if you're going to run the football, you need somebody, you know, that can put a shoulder down and go through people. And what they had, Kalen Griffin can run through people. But, you know, 5'10", 210, or 5'10", 210, 215, a little bit smaller. Juma, not somebody who's going to run you over. But with Jordan Myers, you're looking at a guy who's 6'2", 220. Like, that's the run between the tackles and pick up yards. So that's going to be one of the answers to, you know, the inefficiency running the ball last year. I think the offensive line and getting converted, you know, power lifter, defensive tackle to offensive lineman Isaiah Floyd, another 300 pound guy in the middle of the line, that's going to help. And then getting people healthy, you know, Juma has been in and out of the lineup and, you know, hopefully having some other people to help take those carries will help. So I think there's a couple different wrinkles that they'll have in this year to kind of help ease that burden.
All right, I know I teased it, but I'm going to make it official here. Here's going to be the last one before I send it over to Joe for his line of questioning. Can you just bring us up to speed with just the state of Rice's facilities? I kind of find the state of athletic facilities, whether it be a stadiums or just the actual training facilities across Conference USA, one that's pretty interesting. You look here in the Sunshine State, FAU, quite frankly, they may be the leader in the clubhouse. You know, we'll have to see what happens with UAB and their new stadium that's projected to be, you know, certainly one of the crown jewels of the conference. But FAU, whether it's FAU Stadium and then the Smith Athletic Complex, really top of the line in terms of G5 football. We all know the situation with Rice Stadium being one of the older facilities, but you just talk about, you know, what the plans may be for the future, and then also just the training facilities there, which I believe are attached to Rice Stadium, if my memory serves me correct. Matt?
Yeah, so the Patterson Center came up, I have to get the year, but it's probably one of the newer, probably 5 or 6 years ago, it's kind of been finished, wrapped up and put together. So that's right connected to the stadium, and it's, you know, state of the art, got all the bells and whistles, and, you know, with them being plugged into the Houston Medical Center, like, they got everything in there for training and get people back on their feet. So that's one piece. They have a new practice bubble that they built, I guess, inflated. I guess you build bubbles. I don't know what the technical term is, but yeah, they put that up last year. Got that air conditioned space, which you need in Houston to go practice inside. So they got that. And then they have Rice Stadium, which, you know, probably the only Conference USA stadium that's hosted a Super Bowl. So that's a fun fact, but that Super Bowl was Super Bowl 7, 8, like, it's been a while. So there were plans in place, and I know there still are, to kind of do some renovations on that facility. But of course, you know, the financial challenges that came along with the pandemic have kind of scuttled those a little bit. So I'm not sure when and where, but that's kind of the next nut to crack, is they have the training facilities. Now it's getting game day, you know, up to speed where you'd like it to be.
Send it over to your fellow Parks and Rec fan, Joe Lonergan, right now.
This is good. Awesome. We'll get you up to speed.
All right. Starting with episode 1, when Leslie comes to the pit. No, I'm kidding. Anyway. Matt, thank you so much. But we talked about at the top of the show, like, what, you know, just how weird the season was for Rice football specifically. What was that experience like for you covering them, given they had so many postponements, cancellations, and started so late in the year?
I think it was most interesting because, you know, once we got to the first wave of cancellations, I actually started tracking it. And not that you want to put, like, blame on any particular institution, but I kind of started taking notes. I'm like, okay, you know, North Texas had, you know, they had to postpone. UTEP had to postpone. UTSA was fine. Their opponent had to postpone. You're kind of just kind of keeping score, if you will, with all of this. And just about everybody in Conference USA had an issue at one point where they had to be the guy to call the other team and say, hey, we can't do it. And Rice was never that guy. Rice never initiated a postponement because of a COVID-19 case or contact tracing within the Owls, which I think is a huge testament to how rigorous they were with their protocols. But knowing that, it kind of made it all the more of a gut punch, right? That Rice only played 5 games and there wasn't a situation where they were the guys that, you know, you messed up and you can't play. It's like they did everything they possibly could and only got 5 games in, which was pretty brutal. I was actually sitting in the press box at Rice Stadium when the UTEP game was canceled with this was Saturday kick at like 11, didn't happen, and 2 o'clock it gets cold. And that was just a surreal experience because I've never gone to a stadium for a football game that was not played, even though both teams were present. So it was bizarre, man. I'm looking forward to putting it behind us.
Yeah, for sure. I think we can all agree we're looking forward to putting this, like, Black Mirror episode of a football season behind us. heading into Mike Bloomgren's fourth season here, he's 7-23 so far as the head coach of Rice football. What's your assessment of his performance in that regard, given, you know, how closely you follow the program?
Yeah, well, I think so. It's interesting because 2020 last year was supposed to be the year that Rice got over the hump, right? And, you know, that was supposed to be a bowl game back when there was a 12-game schedule and things were expected to go as planned, but that didn't happen. But, you know, 2-3 with a win over Marshall, undefeated Marshall on the road, nationally ranked. I think if that doesn't count as a step forward, I don't know what is. That would be a monumental win for every program in Conference USA. To knock off somebody that status, especially on the road as a heavy underdog without your starting quarterback, starting wide receiver, starting running back. Rice was had so many injuries last year. So that was a step forward, but they've won 5 out of the last 8 football games. And that includes everything that happened last year with the pandemic. So if you want signs of progress, you know, the company line was always, hey, it's going to take us 2 years. We're going to revamp the depth chart. We're going to get talent in the door, and then we're going to start winning. And the first 2 years, they didn't win. And then the past, you know, half season and before, we've kind of seen that change. You know, like we've talked about, you find a quarterback, then all of a sudden things get a lot easier. So I think so far, kind of the mission statement and the milestones that he's kind of laid out, they've been pretty much on track.
Certainly makes sense with the recruiting rather that they've done in the past couple of seasons now, and then they have the roster that they do. What are you paying particular attention to now with spring practice underway as they prepare for season number four?
Well, I obviously the quarterback battles is on the top of the list that we're looking at. And then I think it's interesting. You mentioned the recruiting. Three of the top five rated recruiting classes that Rice has ever signed were signed by Mike Bloomer in the past four seasons, which is a pretty good testament to that level of talent. And to that end, Blaze Aldridge is the only loss on the defense, the only guy that started last year that's not going to be returning. And I'm really interested to watch, you know, guys like Sean Fresh is a guy who's pretty highly recruited out of Austin, who is a, you know, jack of all trades, corner return man specialist. Guys that, you know, weren't playing last year because they were injured or, you know, getting up to speed in the middle of everything, that are going to push for starting jobs because they are that talented. And I think that's kind of another proof of that, you know, things are going as planned, because you have your starters and they're not just returning starters because they're there, but because they've earned it. So I think the depth is going to be a lot better, and starting to see some of those guys' names on the two line that say, you know, if so-and-so missed the game, you know, player B is going in. And I'm like, I feel pretty good about player B. And I think we might be getting to that point.
So you feel like there's a significant number of incoming freshmen who can compete for starting spots right away?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of the, you know, I guess everybody's a redshirt from last year, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of guys who didn't really play last year that are going to have opportunities as well.
Eric alluded to it with the new addition of offensive coordinator Marquis Tuiasosbo. Can we expect any significant changes to the offensive system under him? And, you know, Eric, you can crucify me for how I pronounced his name later.
Yeah, no, I had to practice that one a couple times, right? Tuiasosbo? Did I get that right?
Marquis Tuiasosbo. There we go. There, we got a winner. There we go.
Right. We'll get there. But yeah, so I think full disclosure, I sat in on his announcement, the press call where Rice announced it. And I will read this quote verbatim because it was pretty telling. He said, "Hey, we're going to run the ball." And I know that was kind of like, you bring in a guy with experience from the Pac-12 and the West Coast. I mean, he worked with, you know, Josh Rosen and the staff that recruited Sam Darnold, and was a really good quarterback himself in college, and, you know, 8 years in the NFL. So he has a lot of experience in the passing game, and he has a lot of, you know, good ideas that he's going to bring into the room. But I don't think that Bloomgren would have brought him in if he's like, no, we're going five wide. Like, we're going to go North Texas. We're going to spread everybody out. So that's not going to happen. But I do think you're probably going to see a couple more wrinkles, especially with, you know, we talked about all the wide receivers that are healthy now. Rice has a lot of speed and a lot of guys that you can get creative with, especially with Jordan Myers moving into the backfield, you know, putting him side by side with somebody like Jim Ottaviano. For some two-back sets, you can get creative and do a couple different things. So I think his influence, he's going to bring a bit more creativity to the offense and have somebody that, you know, played quarterback and knows the position really well to coach those guys. So I think those are the two immediate wins from him getting brought on board.
Awesome. So, you know, being in Texas, I'm sure you can remember the days of the Western Athletic Conference football competition and that sort of thing. And now with that conference bringing football back sooner rather than later, possibly even next season or the season after next, you're going to have Abilene Christian, Lamar, Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, and a host of others, but those are just some Texas schools. You know, as a Texas-based sports writer, what's your take on the imminent return of WAC football?
I think it's fun, right? And it's going to be different than what the WAC used to be. You know, the Rice days. But you know, it's more football with some rich history. So it's funny, you know, as we record this in March, we kind of there's been a lot of talk about the Southwestern Conference in the Final Four with you know, you got Arkansas and you got Houston and bringing back a lot of that. So you know, the old ties never die, right?
No, Matt, appreciate your time. We can if you want, we can really get into the nuances of you know, Andy Dwyer's psyche and all the theory crafting behind that. But, or we can save that for another time. I know I'm recovering from a, yes, exactly.
Oh boy. We're not predicting another one of those, are we? Oh man.
Oh man.
Now I'm just like staring off into space, like with like shell shocks, like PTSD flashbacks. But oh well, you know what, if I have to stay in my office watching old football games and playing 2K for another year, I will do that for America. But anyway,
a man of the people, Joe.
I if nothing else, I try to be that. Matt, thank you so much for your insights into Rice football. For those listening, if you want, you can follow his work at theroost.com and then on Twitter at the Roost. And then I know we're looking forward to big things from the Rice football program in the next couple of seasons with Mike Bloomgren seemingly having his setup the way he wants it. And you know, Eric, I don't know about you, but I'm just getting more and more excited for college football season every day.
Yeah, man. I know the biggest thing that I'm excited for, and I'm sure Matt will agree as well, is just a football season that there aren't, you know, the delays. And as he said, you know, I have never been at a stadium where a game wasn't played, but that just kind of indicative of 2020. But just a football season where teams can come in, they've got a full spring practice, they've got fall, no excuses. You know, we're not like guessing about what we're seeing from teams on the field, right? We can actually say, you are what your record is, right? Like, what's the Dennis Green quote? You know, they are who we thought they were. That's what I'm looking forward to getting back to, man. So no doubt about that.
Yeah, I want no more Thursday phone calls where I just jump out of my skin, not knowing what's going to be on the end of the other line. Tired of that.
Awesome. Well, if you want to follow Eric and myself on Twitter, it's at @JoeHio underscore, and then at @EricCHenry underscore. And then, of course, check out at underdogdynasty.com every day for more G5 football content and underdogdynasty.com, obviously. Matt, have a great rest of your day, and same to everyone else out there. Happy football watching.